Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole.
Uh-huh.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. Put fright in me and now we flee from fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling it Sam. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all honor, praise to the creator of the universe, Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you nothing but the truth, his exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Morey Ishaya Yisrael of the house of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All you're going to get is the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And he is our only savior. And not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I thank Yah again for allowing us to come before you another day. Yesterday we started with open questions, and today we're going to continue on with open questions. These programs are geared for us to see what you want to know, to exercise your heart and mind, and to ask any question whatsoever you desire. And if the Creator is with us, and I know that He is, then we should be able to answer it, if it's in His Word. There are many questions that people might ask us that Yah is really silent on. And when Yah see fit to be silent on it, then it only could mean that we must be silent on it. And so I just wanted that disclosure made clear. So what questions do we have today from the greatest people on earth? The people of Yah, the children of Israel. Yes, sir. And we're going to start with the various questions that we were left with yesterday.
Shalom.
Shalom.
This question is from YouTube from yesterday. In Joshua 5, verse 11 and 12.
In the book of Joshua, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse.
Is it referred to Leviticus 23:10-11?
In the book of Joshua, the 5th chapter, 11 verse, let us read this. I'll start at the 10th verse. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow. The word morrow means the next day. The word morrow means the next morning, because this is when all days begin, in the morning. So if you see the word tomorrow or tomorrow, it would never refer to the evening, or it would never refer to the night. Tomorrow always means the next day or the next morning. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn, in the self same day. In other words, the morrow after the Passover is unleavened bread. So it makes total sense why they would eat unleavened cakes. Because they were supposed to eat unleavened bread. And these unleavened cakes, it translates this word as cakes, but all it is unleavened bread. Further, it says, and the miner sees on the morrow, which is the day after, or the morning after, they had eaten of the old corn of the land. So the Passover they kept on the 14th. The morrow after the Passover, which was the 15th, they kept unleavened bread. And then the morrow after that, the manna ceased. And you know the word morrow means morning, because watch this 12th verse again. It said, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. In other words, the morrow means morning. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So the question was asked, is this the same as what?
Leviticus 23, verse 10 through 11.
Leviticus 23, verse 10 through 11. And no, in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, when it speak about in the 10th verse, and let me get it just to make sure. Yes, in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the 10th and 11th verse, it is speaking about the actual grain and corn that they ate. But it's not speaking about what the verses are speaking about in Leviticus 23 and 10 and 9, because in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verse 10 and 11, is speaking about the first fruits, the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks did not occur in the first month, in the first year. It didn't occur in the same month as the Passover. And this is what it says. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be coming to the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. A sheaf is just part of the vegetation that you will wave before the Most High. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Passover. No, it didn't say that. On the morrow after they ate the old corn. It didn't say that. As it did say in the book of Joshua. But it says on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And the Sabbath day is on the seventh day. So this is when this occurred. Now, a lot of our people have been taught by the enemies, by Esau, by the Jewish community, that this was waived after the morrow of the Passover. And that is not the truth. This is an error. What our people are doing today in saying they keeping the Feast of Weeks, or Kod Shavuot in Hebrew. They are not. Next question.
Shalom. Questions from yesterday on YouTube. Who is Michael in the book of Daniel? Chapter 12, verse 1.
Well, in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter where it speak of the great prince that standeth for our people, whose name is Michael or Mikael, this is one of the great princes of heaven. So Mikael or Michael in English is an angel. And just to show you this, let me get a verse just to show you that this indeed was an angel in Daniel, the 12th chapter. This Michael. And again, the scripture is about Daniel, the 12th chapter, the very first verse, where it talk about this prince that standeth for our people. And this is going to be in the book of Daniel. The 10th chapter. And this is what it says. I'm going to start reading in Daniel, the 10th chapter. And the question was asked, who is this prince, the great prince, who is standing for our people, whose name is Michael? And I'm reading the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 4th verse. And this is what it says. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. And massed the majority of the times that I read the scriptures, and it described what the angels were wearing. They was always wearing linen. And watch what it says. Whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in the color of burnt bright copper, and the voice of his word like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned to me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the first voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy Elohim, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And you're going to know who this Michael is just by reading a little bit more. Now, who was the one that showed himself to Daniel? Well, this angel was called Gabriel. And watch what it says. Now, I am come to make thee to understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I become dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my master, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my master talk with this my master? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. In other words, these all had the appearance of a man because they were not men. They were not men. These were angels. And we get down all the way to the 21st verse. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture, the truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Because these were angels that was dealing with Daniel. That's who Michael is, an angel, but a chief angel, a prince of princes in heaven. The next question.
Shalom. Question from Facebook from yesterday. In the book of Judges, 11th chapter, verses 30 and 31, did Japheth actually have his daughter sacrificed? Or did she become a servant in the temple of the Levites?
All right. In the book of Judges, the 11th chapter, the 11th verse, what verse?
The 11th.
In the book of Judges, the 11th chapter, 11th verse, this is what it says. Verse 30. Judges, the 11th chapter. Verse 30, and the question was asked, this was during the time of Judges, and the question was asked, when Jephthah had vowed to, if the Almighty give him victory, he would sacrifice the first thing to come out of his house. And the first thing that came out of his house was his daughter. And the question was, did he vow? I mean, did he sacrifice his daughter, or did he just give her to the Levites? Well, this is what it says. Let's read this vial, starting at the 29th verse, 11 and 29. Then the Spirit of Yahweh came upon Jephthah. He passed over Gilead and Manasseh, passed over Mizpeh of Gilead and Mizpeh of Gilead. He passed over unto the children of Ammon. Jephthah vowed a vow unto Yahweh and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever coming forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be yours, and I will offer it for I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. Yahweh delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and out to the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me. For I open my mouth unto Yahweh, and I cannot go back. Now, think about this. And the question is, what did he do with his daughter? First of all, what kind of fool would vow to sacrifice the first thing that come out of his house to meet him? What did he think? Did he think a lamb of the first year was going to come out and meet him from his house and say, I'm glad you're back, master? Did he think it would be a bullock? Did he think it would be a goat? What in the world did he think was going to come out of his house to meet him? Only a fool would do such a thing. It could have been a rat. It could have been a dog. It could have been anything. But it was anything. It was his daughter. Who else will come meet you out of your house? But some type of animal that you've trained or used to you. But a goat, what a goat going to be in your house for? And a lamb and a bullock. Things that you would give to the Creator for a burnt offering, because that's what he vowed. And he said his daughter troubled him. No, it was the other way around. Now, this shouldn't be surprising to people, because this wasn't just a foolish vow. It was definitely a foolish vow that he had made. But Jephthah himself was a fool. Now, let me just show you this. Watch what it says in the book of Judges, the 11th chapters. Just reading the first three verses and watch what it says. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and he went out with them. In other words, this man, that's all he hung with anyway, with vain people and vain men. So it's understandable for him to make a vain vow, and that's what he did. But the real question is, what did he do with his daughter? Well, no, this vain, foolish man was not one that would give her to the Levites or to the priests. They wouldn't take her anyway, because he didn't vow to give them like Hannah. Hannah vowed to give her son to the Most High. And what happened when she gave him to the Most High? According to the book of 1 Samuel, well, he was given to the priest. But this is not what Jephthah vowed, to give the first thing that come out of his house to the Most High. He vowed to give, to offer it up for a burnt offering. But this is what his daughter said. Book of Judges, 11th chapter, the 36th verse. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto Yahweh, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as Yahweh hath taken vengeance for thee of thy enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and mourn my virginity, I and my friends. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions, mourned her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass after 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gilead, 4 days in a year. In other words, he killed his daughter. That's what the word sacrifice means. He killed his daughter, as he said he would. Now, did Yahweh accept it? Yahweh didn't accept that. But that's what was done. And you might ask, how do I know Yahweh didn't accept that? Yahweh said that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. The prayer of the wicked is an abomination. So you know Yahweh is not going to accept nothing from no fool. The sacrifice, the first thing coming out of his house, and it could have been a rat. It could have been a snake that crawled up to him. But it was his daughter. He killed her. But no, Yahweh didn't accept it, but he did do it, as he vowed to do. Yes, sir. Next question.
Shalom.
Shalom.
In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 3, the jealousy in which Ezekiel is speaking of, can you further explain it? Is it Yah jealousy of Israel towards the idols of the land?
Now, say that. Read that again.
In Ezekiel 8, verse 3.
Okay, Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. Verse 3. And go ahead. What's the question?
The jealousy in which Ezekiel is speaking of. Can you further explain it?
All right. We'll start at the first verse in Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. First verse, and it came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Yehuda sat before me, that the hand of Yah fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a lightness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, took me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of Elohim of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thy eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Now, this is what Yahweh wants you to know about this image of jealousy. In other words, what he was showing Ezekiel is what nobody else knew but him, what the various leaders was doing. See, you got leaders out here, they talk a good game. They look the part. But behind closed doors and behind the curtain, only Yahweh knows what's going on. And watch what happens. He said, furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. And he wasn't just dealing with the leaders, but he was dealing with the leaders also. And I'm going to show you what Yahweh has purposed to do as a result of what you're seeing here. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig down the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So what Yahweh was showing is all the various abominations of the children of Israel. This is what this image of jealousy was. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Yahaziniah, the son of Yaphan, with every man of censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the angels of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, Yahweh seeth us not. Yahweh have forsaken the earth. And he said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of Yahweh's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for another deity. And so this is what was going on. But let me show you how Yahweh has purpose to destroy all those that will commit such abominations. And this is what he said to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, the 1st verse, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, was live toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, like I told you. Every time you see these angels, you see them wearing linen, with a writer's inkhorn by the side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, and this is a vision, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. In other words, where the holy men is, where the ancient men is, where the leaders are, where the teachers are. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Yah Elohim, would I destroy all the residue of Israel and thy pouring out of the fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Yehuda is exceeding great. The land is full of blood. The city is full of perverseness. For they say, Yahweh hath forsaken the earth, and Yahweh seeth not. And as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So this image of jealousy was showing the prophet why Yahweh is so jealous, even a consuming fire. And Yahweh is so jealous, he said his name is jealousy. The next question.
So, question from Facebook. Was Ruth an Israelite or a Moabite?
Well, this is easy. Ruth was a Moabite. She was a Moabite who abandoned her land, abandoned her family, abandoned her people, abandoned the false gods of the land, and took hold of the true and living Elohim, whose name is Yahweh. And when she took hold of Yahweh and denounced everything about her identity and her culture and her way of life and her people, Yahweh accepted her. She was a Moabite, but she became an Israelite, not by birth, not by blood, but by conversion. So she was still a Moabite, but she was grafted and accepted in into the Hebrew family. Next question.
No more?
All right. And we had a couple other scriptures, questions. One of our brothers, beautiful brothers, asked about what would it take for the leaders to come together. And let me tell you what it would take for the leaders to come together. And I'll show you just a couple scriptures on this. One is in the book of Isaiah 52. And this is what it says in the book of Isaiah 52. In the book of Isaiah 52, this is what it says. In a verse, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. So one of the things that it takes for our people to come together, the leaders that is responsible for the sheep called the house of Israel, they must see eye to eye. This is prophecy. A lot of people say, well, they're not going to see eye to eye until they get home. Where say that at? No, that is a prerequisite in going home. You think Yahweh going to take us home and we all divided and we all believe in all kind of things and you saying the day start at night and I say the day start in the morning? You believe that we're supposed to go by the moon, and I'm saying we're supposed to go by the month? Yahweh is not taking us home with all this confusion. No. For us to go home, the prerequisite is the watchmen have to see eye to eye. And number two, the other thing is in the book of Zephaniah 2. In the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, this is what it says. This is the other thing that it takes for brothers to come together. One, see eye to eye. And you can't see eye to eye if you're not willing to sit down at the table of brotherhood with your brothers. No wonder the people ain't coming together, because the leaders ain't coming together. And the leaders ain't coming together because they don't want to see eye to eye. Zephaniah, the second chapter, the first verse, says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desire. Before the decree bring forth. In other words, come together before the decree bring forth. Before the day pass as a child. Yeah, come together before this day. before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you. Before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you. So, brothers and sisters, it's coming. Did you see how Yahweh mentioned it twice? And did not Yahweh say, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses? So, yes, it's coming, his anger. And it tells you exactly what you do when you gather yourselves together. Seek ye Yah, all ye meek of the earth. In other words, you come together to seek the Most High, regardless of what you believe, regardless of your ideology, regardless of your persuasion and beliefs. Come together and seek Yah, all ye meek of the earth, which I wrought as judgment. And then it tells you what to do. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in a day of Yah's anger. Because once you begin to start seeking righteousness and meekness together, that don't just mean come together and start discussing all your issues and problems. No, that means you come together and you pray. You pray to have the one mind, the one heart, the one spirit, the one law with the one Elohim, the one Father, with the one people, with one King, one Shepherd. This is what you do. You seek him. You seek Yah. And you let Yah make the crooked things straight. But he's not going to do it if you don't come together. This is what the brothers got to do, and this is what the brothers have to know. Show you another scripture on this in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Do the leaders have to know to get together? These are the truths they have to know, they have to accept, and they have to do. But if you think you can sit down and just wait around until something change, make no mistake about it, Yahweh is recording that. And he's going to record and say, look, all you've been doing is sitting around. You're not doing none of the things I said in my word. That is going to be for a record. Yahweh record everything, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And he also recording all the people that complain and all the people that send out all kind of negative messages, texts and emails, and he got you recorded too. But watch this in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. And this is what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, and the very first thing it says, shall humble themselves. In other words, realize that nobody is better than nobody. Just humble yourself and pray. We can't even pray because we refuse to even come together, which means we're not humble as a people. And seek my face. Then we not just say, seek Yah, all those that have wrought his judgment, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You would think everybody who read this would try to get in touch with every Israelite and say, let us come together and do what this says. Since Yahweh said he will forgive us, he will heal our land, and he will hear from heaven. Let's get together. Let's do this thing. But no, they will read this and still not do it. Now you might ask, well, what are you doing, Moray Ishaya? Well, I was one of the pioneers under Moray Elisha Israel of the house of Israel. here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And back in 1994, we had a first conference, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, to do exactly what I'm telling y'all to do now. And that is to come and sit at the table of brotherhood so that we can see eye to eye, but also so that we can humble ourselves, pray, and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Of course, in 2016, just a couple years ago, I went out, seven different cities, called many leaders, elders, sent out all kind of literature to all of Israel, all the ones that I can reach, to join us in Virginia, Jamestown, Virginia, where the slave ships docked. And our ancestors came off those slave ships naked, butt naked, chained and shackled. And so the place where the crime began, we returned right back to that place in 2016 and prayed and sought the Most High and humbled ourselves, irregardless of what everybody believed. This is what we did, just like Yahweh told us to do. And we still seeking Yah and reaching out to our brothers and sisters that we got to seek Yah before it's too late. Because Yahweh do have a timetable. This is time sensitive. And for some strange reason, many of our people and our leaders don't respect time. And show you what Yahweh had to say about this. And then I'll take any other questions. Any questions up? Yeah. All right. In the book of Proverbs, let me show you this. Just to let you know how sensitive time is. In the book of Proverbs, in the first chapter, and this is what it says, Twenty-second verse. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I've called, and you refuse. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and it's coming. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yah. They were none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. And so this is very time sensitive. We've been telling people this for a few years now, and so it's up to you. Now, do I know when the time is up? And you ran out of time? No. But Yahweh do. Next question.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Can you talk about Ezekiel chapter 4, prophecy of the captivity? What was that a reference to?
Yeah, in the book of Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, and we're going there now. So people can know. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a prophet that was raised up and sent to the captives in Babylon. And watch what it says right before I read Ezekiel, the fourth chapter. Watch what it says in Ezekiel, the first chapter, so you can understand Ezekiel, the fourth chapter. And watch what it says in the very first verse. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of Elohim. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of Yah came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Kabar. And the hand of Yah was there upon him. So in other words, when Ezekiel comes on the scene, as you can see, this was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. So Jehoiakim had been in captivity for 5 years. Now, what was Jehoiakim's captivity? Well, his captivity, he was prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel to go into captivity, our people, for 70 years. So now Ezekiel, the prophet, had came to prophesy and got a vision from the Most High in the fifth year of this captivity, in which is 70 years long. Now, we're going to get right to the Ezekiel, the fourth chapter. And all the way from the first chapter, all the way to the fourth chapter of Ezekiel, Yahweh is telling Ezekiel, in other words, all the way through the fourth chapter, this is a vision of him speaking to Ezekiel about what's going to happen in the captivity of Babylon. All this took place in Babylon. And this is what it said. And right now, Ezekiel is still in this vision. He's not out of this vision. He's still there. And we're in Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, the very first verse. Oh, let's start at Ezekiel, the third chapter, the 25th verse. But thou, son of man, behold, they shall put bands on thee, and they shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open up thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus says Yah Elohim, he that heareth, let him hear, he that forbeareth, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. Now it's going right into the fourth chapter. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, lay it before thee, and portray upon it in the city, even Jerusalem. This is just instructions of telling Ezekiel what he's supposed to do. And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast the mount against it, set the camp also against it, set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be seized, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie thou also upon thy left side. Lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. He ain't did it yet, but this is the instructions on what he's supposed to do. For I laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side. And thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Yehuda 40 days. I appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Thy arms shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. And so what is this whole chapter speaking about? In this vision, it's talking about what Yahweh said will be done when our people go into Babylon. The first thing that happened when our people was besieged in Jerusalem, the first people that was taken out are the chief of our people, the various princes and the king and the rulers and other king's house and the king's servants, all the big people. And they besieged the city. And when they had no more food and they had no more nothing, that's when they went in. But then after that, they took them to Babylon. But then one of the chief men of Nebuchadnezzar came back in and burnt the whole city and burnt all their houses and took all their substance and brought the rest of the people into Babylon. And then they will set up inferior people in the land for rulers. But the mass majority of the people they brought to Babylon. And there they was for 70 years. And this was a prophecy speaking about that, speaking about what will happen in this captivity. And it was in the fifth year of Jehoiakim when this vision came to Ezekiel. But it was already prophesied, not in this manner, but it was already prophesied with Jeremiah that they would be in Babylon for 70 years, and Ezekiel was one of the prophets of Babylon. Yes, sir.
Shalom. Question from Facebook. In Isaiah chapter 14, when the heathen that serve Israel in the kingdom, is it going to be forever or 7 years?
When the heathens in the book of Isaiah, what chapter? 14th chapter. This is what it says. The very first verse. For Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Yaakov. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahweh for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives who captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. And these strangers will not serve us for 7 years, because the only people that serve for 7 years is Israel, one that was born an Israelite. But other heathen and other strangers that we possess, they will serve us forever. And you'll read this in the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, Let us read that. This is the law, Leviticus 25. In the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, and this is what it says in the 39th verse. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as bond servants, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee, because that's when you go out free. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his father shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy Elohim. Now watch this. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. And moreover, the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begin in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. So yes, the heathen will be our servant forever. Next question. Yes, and if you're on Blog Talk and you have questions, all you have to do is hit the number one on your phone and we will come to you. Yes, sir.
Shalom. Does Israel have a symbol to represent them, i.e. a flag?
Today, the children of Israel don't have a pole, a beacon, a flag, or anything that denotes them as a people. Nothing. Because if we did, our people would rally around it. And our people have nothing to rally around. But when our people do have something, let me show you the very thing that our people will rally around. This will be our symbol. This will be our beacon. This will be the image that Yahweh will give us in the last days that our people will rally around. And you'll read it in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Turn there. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, this is what it says in the 10th verse. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. And who is Jesse? Well, Jesse is the father of David. Now, Jesse is dead right now, while the prophet Isaiah is prophesying. And the root of Jesse is dead. And the root of Jesse, all through the scriptures, that the Most High speak of, is David. And watch what it says. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which is King David, which shall stand for an ensign. And what is an ensign? An ensign is something. It's a sign that people will see and rally to it. And watch what it says. which shall stand for an ensign of the people. It to what? To that ensign. And who is that ensign? The root of Jesse. And who is that? King David. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and its rest shall be glorious. You also find this in the 12th verse. Watch what it says. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So even though our people don't have it today, they will have it in the near future, very near future. Next question. And it won't be a flag. It will be none other than King David. And this is real good for our people. This is how you seek the Most High. This is one of the ways that you seek the Most High. And I can assure you, the various leaders is not going to avail themselves to answer these questions that the people have. Because then the people might ask them, well, why can't leaders come together? And the simple truth is because pride and arrogance. If the leaders want to come together, they will come together. All one have to do is humble themselves and not be afraid. Don't be afraid that you might be wrong. Don't be afraid of being embarrassed. Don't be afraid of what the people are going to say. Don't be afraid of losing a congregation that don't belong to you anyway. Don't be afraid because you think people are not going to follow you, because they going to start thinking that you're not the man they thought you would be or you portrayed yourself to be. All one have to do for the leaders to come together is humble themselves. Say, look, regardless of what they believe, regardless of what I believe, regardless if I'm right or they're right and I'm wrong, let us come together and let's sit down and let's talk about these things. Let's discuss these things. Let us break bread and let us seek Yahweh. For in the book Isaiah, the 9th chapter, this is what it says. In the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and this is what it says in the 16th verse. The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. And most people think the leaders are just men. No, the leaders are not just men. Nor are the leaders just teachers. No, the leaders are the ones that's responsible for our communities. You got a bunch of women that want to sit at the table full of men. Well, if you want to sit at the table, you already think you're a leader. And what are you doing to bring people together other than complaining, other than criticizing? And this is all I'm hearing. But if you're a true leader, bring the people together. Let your actions speak louder than your words. Next question.
Shalom. Scriptures say, debate thy cause with thy neighbor. But it also says, we fast for strife and debate. When is it appropriate time to debate?
Well, the appropriate time to debate. It's when Yahweh says it's time. And this is the number one time to debate in the book of Isaiah 43. And the scriptures teach us there's a time and a season for everything. Now, if you want to know the time to debate anything, watch what it says. Isaiah 43 and 8 says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show a swarm of things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. So anytime our people or any people are saying something that is not the truth, Yahweh saying, look, let them bring forth their witnesses. We don't care if it's other nations, other religions, other people, or our people, whoever it is, let them bring forth their witnesses that they might be justified, and let them hear and say it is true. And watch what Yahweh say in the 10th verse. Ye are my witnesses, says Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. For before me there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. I am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. I've declared, I've saved, and I've showed when there was no strange Elohim among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, says Yah, that I am Elohim. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? So this is the time of debate. When you have people rising up saying, thus is Yah, and Yahweh ain't said nothing. When they begin to start teaching and saying lies, then let them come say it to us. Because we are Yahweh witnesses, and we avail ourselves to anyone and anybody in any nation and any people that says what we're doing, what we're saying is not the truth. Well, bring forth your witnesses so the people can see whether we are lying or not. Next question. And not only Yahweh said we were his witnesses, Yahweh said this in the book of Isaiah 42. And watch what it says. The very first verse. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And look what this thing Yahweh said he would do, other than bringing judgment unto truth, other than bringing judgment in the earth. And they're going to wait for his law. And this is speaking about his servant, whom his soul delighteth in. Watch what it says. the 16th verse. It says, or let's start at the 13th verse. Yahweh shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, war. He shall prevail against his enemies. I've long time holding my peace. I've been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, dry up all the earth, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And watch this 16th verse. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Who do you think Yahweh is going to use as an instrument to bring the blind by a way they didn't even know? I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. So this is what Yahweh said he would do. This is what Yahweh said he's going to do. And who would he do it with? His servant, whom his soul delighteth in. Any other questions? And many of the things that we're speaking about, many of these things will come very suddenly in the most nearest time, quickly in the nearest future. So you don't have to wait thousands of years anymore. You don't have to wait hundreds of years anymore. Nor do you have to wait decades, as many of our people have. Make no mistake about it. We are in the last days. The handwriting is on the wall. And if you look and see, have your eyes open, you can see what Yahweh has already sown in the earth. And what has sown will bud. It's for a time and a season. And that season is fastly approaching us. This is why Yahweh have ordained us to tell you to seek him. Not later. Not in the future. But now. But now. Just to show you something that Yahweh said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. This is the law. But it's a law speaking of what Israel should be doing . And let me tell y'all this. Little do people know, we have our conference, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference of the Most High, and we'll be meeting July the 29th through August the 3rd, 5 nights, we will be together, 6 days. And we had never been together that long. 6 days in Spencer, Tennessee, out in a cabin setting, where all it is woods and little small towns around us. The closest city to us will be more than an hour and a half away. So all the little towns around us, but we will be in the woods. in cabins. Beautiful setting. And guess what we'll be doing there? And if you go to our website, worldgatheringyisrael.org, worldgatheringyisrael.org, and you can get our conference information. This is what we'll be doing this summer. And guess what we will be doing? We will be doing exactly what I'm talking about now, exactly what I'll be showing you. We will be seeking the Most High. And we'll be praying to the Most High. We will separate ourselves from the people, and we will seek the Most High. And the thing about it is, not to just talk about anybody, but we still have people complaining about this and complaining about that, and, you know, sleeping with these, you know, a bunch of men and women. In other words, the bottom line is we're doing exactly what Yahweh said. Gather ourselves together. If Yahweh wanted us to gather together in a sewer, that's where I will be. I will be in a sewer. But our people, they will complain. Why we got to gather in the sewer? Why we got to go down there? Why we got to meet there? Because Yahweh told us to gather ourselves together. Yahweh told us to seek Him. So our people better open up their eyes. They better open up their ears. And this thing our people seem not to want to do. They just want to complain about everything. But make no mistake about it. You've been told. The last scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, and this is what it says in Deuteronomy 4, 27 verse. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, where we are today, whether Yahweh shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek Yahda Elohim, where? Among the heathen. Thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to seek Yahweh with all our heart and with all our soul. So until tomorrow, in which we will still have open questions, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.